Thank you to everyone who came yesterday. We felt it was a worthy time to sing God's praises in the Westfield Centre, and we do continue to pray, don't we, that there may be those ripples that go out from that time. And thank you to those who have displayed the produce this morning, just to remind us that God is good to all. And that's our text this morning, Psalm 145 and verse 9. These simple words, Psalm 145 and verse 9, the Lord is good to all. The Lord is good to all. Now there may be some you see this morning who would say right from the very beginning, well, we don't see that. We can't agree with that. A young couple came this morning as we were opening the doors. They were homeless. And they said, was there some food and so on? And we invited them in, but they wouldn't come into the service. And I'm sure if we talked to them, they would say, well, we have no home. How can you say the Lord is good to all? He's not good to us. Think of people in maybe other countries who today are in famine and in war and people near at home in tragedy and illness, and we can go into the hospital even just across the road and maybe go into the cancer ward, and people would say to us, how can you say the Lord is good to all? He may be good to you, but he's not been good to me. And people will say that to us. And people, when we meet them in the open air, will say, it's all right for you, but not for me. I read just recently that 150 million people will be affected in any year by natural disasters. 150 million people. And they may say in a loud voice, how can you say God is good to all? Well, we come to the Bible this morning, don't we? We come to God's Word. And we come to that as our starting point. And we come to that which we see as God speaking to us. And He is saying to us, I, the Lord, am good to all. It is here declared, isn't it? The Word of God. We're not here to debate it or even to discuss it, but to hear it and then to declare it, and here it is, and it's inescapable. The Lord is good to all. Are we sure about that? You see, when we hear those answers coming back, we could doubt it in some way. Well, if we look in the Bible, is this just one verse or one reference that maybe we've misunderstood? Well, we could look throughout the scriptures, and let me just quote one or two verses to you. Psalm 33 verse 5, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Psalm 106 verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Psalm 107 verse 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. And so it goes on. And there are many texts which surround this text here in Psalm 145 and reinforce that word and repeat that word and say it again and again in different ways. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from our Father which is in heaven. Both Old and New Testament surround this text and say, yes, you're not mistaken. It is true. The Lord is good to all. And so I want with you this morning, on this Harvest Sunday morning, to think of four things that we should know about the goodness of God. We've looked, haven't we, at four things about heaven, four things about hell, four things about the Word of God. And now this morning we're going to think about four things that we should know about the goodness of God. Because here is this text this morning, this harvest text. The Lord is good to all. How should we understand that? How should we see that in the light of what others might say? You're mistaken. It can't be true. It isn't right. You've got it wrong. Well, the first thing we have to say is this. The first thing that we should know and understand is that God is good in Himself. God is good in Himself. Let's look at the text. It says this, the Lord is good. And if you notice, that little word is, it's in italics. And therefore it really reads like this. The Lord good. The Lord good. Now God declares Himself in many ways, doesn't He? I heard one of those ways this morning with the children. The Lord Jesus said, I am the bread of life. We know things about God from the Word of God, where He declares Himself very simply and plainly. God is love. God is light. God is just. God is holy. God is true. All those things that God is, that make Him God, we call those God's attributes. They are those things which, in their fullness, make God God. He is all of those things. In perfection and completeness, if He were not those things, He would not be God. And here we are told, one of those things that make God God. You see, people's understanding of God varies. And we could talk to people and we could say, well, can you describe God? How would you see God? What is God like? And we'd have all sorts of descriptions. But isn't the person who knows God most and best God? Of course it is. Of course He is. And God says here, the Lord is good. He says, I am good. So many times it says that. And in Psalm 119 verse 68 it says this, you are good and do good. Another version says, you are good and what you do is good. God is good. What He does therefore must be good, because He is good. So just as God is love, God loves. Just as God is light, He sheds and shows that light. God is just and perfect and true and right in all things, and God is good. What He does is good. But more than that, when we read Psalm 52 verse 1, it says this about the goodness of God. It says, the goodness of God endures continually. It's one of those things about God, that God is eternal, unchangeable. So every attribute of God, His goodness being one of them, is unchangeable. It is continuous. It never varies, never changes. Oh, we're so used to a changing world, aren't we? We change, our moods change, the weather changes. Who would have thought it was raining like this after yesterday's glorious weather? You see, things change, but God never changes. The goodness of God, it says, endures continually. That God has ever been good. That God is good now. That God will never be anything but good. And it tells us more than that in the scriptures. It tells us in Exodus 34 verse 6, another thing, that the Lord is abundant in goodness. In other words, He overflows with goodness. There is so much of goodness in God that you almost cannot keep it in, because God is abundant in goodness. He has always been good. He always will be good. God is good, and God is abundant in goodness. And beyond that, we can go another step, and we can say this, that God is the original goodness. The original goodness. In other words, all goodness, all good that we know originates from God, because God was before all things. So before anything was, there was God, and God was good. And therefore God was the originator of good and goodness. There is no good that we know in anyone or in anything or in anywhere that doesn't come from God originally. We can sit down at lunchtime today and we can taste our lunch and we can say, oh, this is good. It originates from God. We can look out on a beautiful view and say, isn't that good? It comes from God. You know, so-and-so's really been good to me. That goodness comes from God. The Puritan Thomas Manton, he says, God is originally good. Good of himself, which nothing else is, for all creatures are good only by participation and communication from God. There can be no addition made to him and no subtraction from him. Simply, the Lord is good. A.W. Pink says, all the goodness there is in any creature has been imparted from the Creator, but God's goodness is underived. God's goodness is underived. It doesn't come from anywhere else, but from Him. And we must begin there. That is the first thing that we need to know and understand, that God is good in Himself. Originally good, always good, continually good, abundantly good, everlastingly good is God. Now, the second thing that we should know is this, that God is good in creation. God is good in creation. But our text again, it says, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. You see, here is the goodness of God, and it is being communicated. It is being shed abroad. The goodness of God, God, the originator of good, is giving his good. What he is doing is good. And what has he done? Well, what do we believe? The first book in the Bible, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, it says this, in the beginning God created. God created the heavens and God created the earth. If therefore there is any goodness in the heaven and in the earth, in any part of this world, in any place or person or creature or food or anything, whatever it may be, God is good. He created him. God is good in creation. It came from God and it came through creation. God came and created this world. He spoke it into existence. Every good gift, every perfect gift, it comes down from God. From God. Now you see, if you believe in evolution, you've got a massive problem. If you believe in evolution, you have an ethical problem. Because just what is goodness? Just what is good? How can you say what is good and what is not good? Unless you have something to judge that by. You see, we've all been to school, haven't we? We've done our lessons at home. And we've all got the paper back, haven't we? And it either says, good, or try again, or whatever it says. Who's judging it? Well, the teacher's judging it. Because in maths, there are objective answers, aren't there? The right answer and the wrong answer. And there is the right answer, and that which is right is good. But that which is wrong, it can't be good. But there is something to judge it by. You see, if you believe in evolution, you do not believe in God. You do not believe in God as the start of all goodness. You have nothing which to judge goodness by. No absolute, no baseline. Good can only come from God, who is good. Just turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, if you've got your Bible, or if you don't want to, don't bother to do so. Just listen to what God says in His Word. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 4. God saw the light that it was good. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 10. God saw the heavens and the earth and the dry land and the seas and saw that it was good. Chapter 1 and verse 12. God saw that it was good when He saw the field and the fruit of the field. Chapter 1 verse 18. Here it is again. And God saw that it was good. There are six times. The sixth one in verse 25. And God saw that it was good. In creation, God made that which was good. He had to do so. Because He is good. Perfectly good. What He created is good. And we read a very interesting text in Genesis 1 and verse 31. Then God saw everything. Everything that He had made. And indeed it was very good. Now that's interesting, isn't it? That God says it was good six times, and then He says at the end, it was very good. The word there in the original language is a superlative. It was good, good. It was so good because it was total, complete, and utter goodness. Everything about what God made was good. You see, God is good in creation. We need to understand that when God made the world, God, who is perfectly good, made a good world. A world which is perfectly good. Very good. But when we read on in Genesis, and we see that world which was good, so very good, and how that world falls through the sin of Adam and Eve. And we read in Genesis chapter 3 how God had said that they were not to take that fruit of that tree, but they took it and ate it. And man fell from that goodness, that perfection of God. And death came, and illness came, and disease came, and pain, and sorrow, and tears, and toil, and trouble, and strife, and war, and hate came. We call it the fall, because man fell from that place and position of perfect goodness. Breakdown, failure, and separation from God. And notice this, it was not God that changed. God remains ever good. God cannot change. Our text tells us the Lord is good. The Lord good. It is a constant. He never changed. It was man that changed, that dragged this world by his actions into sin and its effects. God's goodness has never changed. It's man's goodness that has become corrupted and warped and spoiled. Now you see, if you believe in evolution, you have a real problem here. Because the evolutionist has to believe that things are getting better. That is what evolution teaches, isn't it? that man is ascending and that good will come. Things that are better will be. Now, it is true that in terms of technology and advances in science and so on, man has discovered more and more to better ourselves. But what about man himself? What about man's goodness? That good where we began is no longer there, and it is declining. See, the evolutionist says man is ascending. The Bible says things are getting worse and man is descending. And you know, if we took that to court, if we took it to court and we laid it before a judge and we said to the judge, "Judge on the evidence," and we showed him our newspapers, we showed him our television news, and we showed him things that are on the radio and so on, where is the evidence? The evidence is, isn't it, that things are getting worse and not better. You see, Adam and Eve sinned, and the fall of man began at that point from goodness to decline. And we're told in the Bible that all have sinned. We can't just blame Adam and Eve. You know, people say to us, well, what have we got to do with Adam and Eve? Nothing to do with us, nothing to do with me. But you see, we all sin. All have fallen short of the goodness of God, of the perfection of God. All of us, every single one. For there is none good, no, not one, it tells us in the Bible. And in Romans 5 and verse 12, it tells us this: therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and death spread to all men because all sinned. You see, God is good in creation, but man has spoiled that goodness by sin and by disobedience and by denying God and turning from him. God is good in himself. God is good in creation. Thirdly, God is good in sustaining this world. That's the third thing we need to see and understand, that God is good in sustaining this world that he has made, that we have spoiled, that sinful man has spoiled. Look at our text again. It's a very simple text, isn't it? The Lord is good to all. He's good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works. Well, the world is still here. We are here again, another harvest, another year, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, day and night, cold and heat. God is good to all. God is good in the sense that he is sustaining this world and keeping this world that he has made. He's good in himself. He is good in his creation. Despite man's folly and man's sin and man's rebellion against God, God remains good. And one of those evidences is that he sustains this world. He keeps it, doesn't he? When we see something that we have made and it's failed, it hasn't turned out how we expected it, well, we get rid of it. We might have made the dinner. Husband gets home and he says, "What's for dinner?" Wife says, "It's in the bin." Boys and girls, you might have made some Lego or something like that. We love making Lego, don't we? Some of the boys and girls come around to our house and we make Lego together. But if we don't like what we've made, well, we just take it apart. Get rid of it. Scrap it. Why didn't God do that with the world? Why didn't God deal with Adam and Eve in the way that he could have done, in ending the world at that point of time? The Lord is good to all who have lived upon the earth since that time, to all the world which he sustains, which he holds up, which he continues. You see, things have become so bad when we read in Genesis chapter 6, only just a few chapters on from the beginning of the world, from the goodness of God's creation in Genesis chapter 6, we read that the world had become so bad and so corrupted that when God looked at the world in Genesis 6 and verse 5, the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. And the Lord was sorry, the Lord repented that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And we're not surprised to read that, are we? Knowing the way that the world had become. But what does God do? Well, God says, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we know the story, don't we? We know the story of the flood, that true account of God's dealings with that early world, where God flooded the world and yet saved Noah and his family. And we read at the end of that account in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 20, when the flood had subsided, Noah built an ark to the Lord and took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar, and the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. What is that? That is the goodness of God. Every day that we wake up in the morning, every breath that we breathe, every slice of bread that we eat, every apple, Every good gift that we take is of the goodness of God. And God is good to all. How dependent we are upon God. Do we realize that? Do we realize that this morning? Do we take it for granted that we are dependent upon Him? In our psalm it says in verse 15 and 16, the eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. You know, if God did not open his hand and God did not give to you and to me, you would be hungry, you would be lost, you would be helpless, you would die. You know, every day God opens his hand and he satisfies the desire of every living thing. That's the goodness of God. God is good in himself. God cannot be anything but good. God was good in creation, in creating the world, in creating that very good world. Oh, man spoiled the world and continues to spoil it. And sin reigns, it seems, in the world. But still we read in Psalm 33 verse 5, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. The earth is still full of all the evidences of the goodness of the Lord. We went out for a walk yesterday afternoon. We walked down through the hedgerows, and there are the blackberries. We took the blackberries off of the hedgerows. The birds were singing. The sun was shining. It was a beautiful late summer's evening. There are all the evidences of God's continuing goodness. Great is thy faithfulness. Summer and winter, day and night, cold and heat, seed time and harvest. That's what the hymn writer says. Yes, God is good in earth and sky, from ocean depths and spreading wood. 10,000 voices seem to cry, God made it all, and God is good. Yes, God is good. All nature says, by God's own hand with speech endued, and man in louder notes of praise should sing for joy that God is good. You know, one thing about yesterday and singing in the Westfield Centre is that we were seeking to declare that God is good. It's what the scripture tells us. The Lord is good to all. To all those who are around us, God is good. Yet man despised the goodness of God. Yet there is every evidence, day after day, in the lives of men and women, that God remains good. But then there's a fourth thing this morning as we close. That God is good in salvation. God is good in salvation. Read verse 8 of this psalm. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. When we read that account of the flood and Noah and his family, we read those words, Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Noah was included in that description of all the world, that the world was fallen and sinful and undeserving of the continuing goodness of God, and yet God did not wholly destroy the world. But in his grace and mercy, he saved that man Noah and his wife and his family. There is the graciousness of God, the goodness of God in salvation. That though God had every right, because God is just and true and perfect and holy, to destroy the world and all that was in it, including Noah and his family, yet God graciously saved him. And God is good in salvation. He warned Noah. Noah heeded God. Noah believed in God. Noah, in faith, built the ark, believing God's word. And God says to us this morning, this world in which he is still good, good to all, will one day be destroyed. Not by flood, but by fire. People say, you see, like they did in the days of Peter, 2 Peter 3, it says this. People said then, where is the promise of his coming? There's nothing that we can see that convinces us that this world is going to end. But the Bible tells us the world, the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but should come to repentance. And that God is good in salvation, that he offers to you and I a way to come to know him, a way to be saved from that judgment which is to come. For the goodness of God continues to preserve this world day by day, but the holiness and the justice and the purity of God demands that one day this world must be finished and destroyed and ended, and God must be true to his nature in all his attributes in every part. But God is gracious, you see. God is good in his graciousness, that God gives to us an opportunity. In Psalm 86 and verse 5 it says this, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all those who call upon you. And you know, as the days go by, it is an inescapable truth that God is good. He's good in creation. He's good in sustaining this world. But one day, this world will end. And one day you and I, each one of us, will stand before God, who is holy and just and right and true and perfect, and we'll have to judge our sin. But He is good in that He gives us an opportunity, a day of grace. It's what we often call it, don't we? A day of grace, where God opens His hand to you and I, and He says this: there's a way of salvation. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open, and you may go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin, when you come as a sinner to Jesus. You see, there was a man, wasn't there, in Philippi, who cried out this: what must I do to be saved? And the answer came back: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Why upon Jesus Christ? What can Jesus Christ do for me? Well, God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And people say, how can you say that God is good? He's not been good to me. What about those people in this place or that place? Well, you show me. How much more can the goodness of God be shown or demonstrated than this? That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Can God be any more good than that? And yet it tells us this in Romans 2 and verse 4. Do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? You know, if you're not a Christian this morning, and if you never come in repentance, realizing you are part of that fallen world which fell from God's goodness, and that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you despise the riches of the goodness of God, that every day He gives you an opportunity to come to Him in repentance and faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. As it says here, He's leading us, He's showing us, He's giving us an opportunity to come to Him. Does that make God anything other than good to you this morning? Never mind about anyone else. What about you? What about you? God is good this morning to all, to you and to me. Will you not come to Him and accept that He opens His hand this morning and not only gives you your daily bread, but He gives you that way of salvation. He gives you the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Oh, God is good. He is good in Himself. He is good in creation. He is good in sustaining this world, though it be so full of sin and wickedness. But God is good supremely in salvation. The hymn writer says, for all thy gifts we bless thee, Lord, but most for thy redeeming blood, thy pardoning grace, thy quickening word. These prompt our songs that God is good. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. We thank Him for them this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this great and wonderful text this morning from Your word that is repeated again and again, that the Lord is good to all. Lord, we acknowledge that here this morning. Your goodness to us in our lives and in all that you have given to us, though, Lord, we are undeserving, because we are part of this fallen world. We have ourselves a fallen nature. We are not good. But we thank you, Lord, that you have shown your goodness to us in that way of salvation through Jesus Christ, that he was perfectly good, that his life is laid down for our account, at our account. And Lord, that perfect life is given for us. And we thank you, Lord, for his death upon the cross this morning and for his sacrifice. And we thank you, Lord, that that is accepted, and that the God who is good will save us and take us to be with him in heaven's glory, if we but believe and trust in him. So help us, Lord, to see and understand this morning, on this harvest morning, the goodness of God. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.